Stang Gang podcast time, and time to talk about women's basketball with Bernita Jackson as Midwestern State is finally coming back home. And I want to work a little bit backwards this week, if it's okay with you, Bernita, because if I put this off, I'll forget about it. We'll be running out of time, and we won't have enough time to devote to it. But okay. Saturday, you're playing Western New Mexico, and that's going to be Ovarian Cancer Awareness Day.
Yes.
So you'll be wearing teal shirts, and you've given me a T-shirt to wear on Saturday, so thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
And I think it's nice that you're remembering Noelle Johnson. Even as a new coaching staff comes in here, we keep Noelle in mind.
I think it's important. I mean, she made such a great impact, not just on the program, but, you know, MSU and the Wichita Falls community, and honestly, the women's basketball community. So we want to continue to honor her in any way that we can, and just the legacy that she left. You know, she cared about the young ladies, and she cared about the work that she did. And so anything we can do to kind of honor her and you know, just recognize not just her, but a lot of the women who fight different kinds of cancer that affect us. You know, anytime we can come together, rally together, and raise awareness, I think it's important.
Did you ever have a chance to cross paths with Noelle?
I did. So, strangely enough, when I played at Southeastern Louisiana, she was an assistant coach at Texas State, and so kind of played against her coaching staff. And then I got into coaching at the JUCO level, and she would, her and her staff would recruit some of my players. And so we got to meet and talk. We weren't close friends, but the few interactions that I had with her, she was just very pleasant, very nice, and again, competitive, you know.
Very competitive. Very competitive. You got that in common with her.
Yes. So just enjoyed my few interactions with her, and just all of the things that she did here at Midwestern State. It's just a privilege to even be able to, you know, be here and honor her, and hopefully, you know, continue to build moving forward in a way that can still honor the work that she put into the program.
And you brought back a nice memory for me, because she knew I was from Austin, and she used to talk to me about her days at Texas State.
Yes.
And she used to go into my neck of the woods in South Austin to enjoy a meal or have a night out on the town. So, you know, she used to reminisce about her days at Texas State with me. So
Yes. Thanks
for bringing that memory back for me. And we want everybody to wear teal if they can, right?
Yes. Wear teal on Saturday. We will also have teal ribbons to give to just kind of pin on your shirt, even if you don't have a teal shirt, or you have one and you want to wear it anyway. That's fine with us. But we'll do that. And then I believe that we have some special guests coming in as well from the Little Dribblers in town. So they'll be performing at halftime. So it'll be a fun day. Obviously, celebrating the life sometimes can bring about different emotions, but we still want to make sure that we are just enjoying the good things and the positive things that she did for the program. A couple of our young ladies that are on the team, Eternity and Markayla and Maya, they all knew her, met her, were recruited by her.
Right.
And so they still have that tie and that connection to her. So, yes, wear teal, come out, celebrate, and let's make it a great day.
And you played really well against Western New Mexico in Silver City a few weeks ago.
We did. We played pretty well out there. We were able to execute and come away with the win on the road, which is a tough place to play. And I was very proud of our girls' execution there at Western New Mexico.
So let's kind of go back to this past weekend and kind of revisit what happened at Lubbock Christian in West Texas. And what was your assessment? Let's kind of look at an even bigger picture, because I think that four-game road trip was kind of a chapter of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So through that four-game road trip, kind of what's your assessment of the team?
I think right now, overall, we are just struggling when we start to get into rotations and things like that. And a lot of that, every team is dealing with it. We're banged up. You know, injuries are not our friend. I mean, if you look across the landscape of women's basketball, you're seeing Power Five schools having to hold open tryouts just to finish the season. I was actually talking to the table workers at West Texas about that, and I mean, I'm thinking it's because they're playing so many games in high school with AAU, and he brought up a good point. He said, well, it's the COVID year, too. You got to consider that some of those injuries that are season ending. This is some of those kids' fifth year playing, and so they're getting banged up and bruised up. And I said, I didn't think about that, but that's a good point, you know. But a lot of teams are struggling with injuries, so we have to continue to just, you know, be mindful of that, make those adjustments, which is what we've been doing. Our girls are doing the best they can with what they have, but some of that stuff, you know, that we've been doing to ourselves is self-inflicted, if you will. Unforced turnovers and sending people to the free throw line. You can't guard the free throw line, so we have to do a little bit better job of being more disciplined in the half court. And anytime you go on the road, it's going to be hard. Like you said, four games in a row on the road is difficult. But we can focus better than what I thought we did. And I'm glad we got one win against Oklahoma Christian, which was great, but really would have hoped that we could have put together more than just the one. And we were right there in several of those games. It wasn't, none of them were out of reach. None of them were, you know, just, oh, they were just that much more talented. I didn't think that. I just thought we kind of had some self-inflicted wounds. And give our girls credit. They fought. You know, they continue to fight and work and try to get something out of it. But we just have to do a little bit better job of being mindful of, like, you know, early fouls. Don't foul early, especially when, you know, our rotations are down because we just had a teammate get injured. And so we're down a rotation, things like that. So they're learning that. We're trying to make them aware of that kind of stuff. But, you know, again, they continue to fight. They continue to do everything that they can. And as a coach, that's all you can ask of them.
I know when we talked after Lubbock, one of the things you talked about was the importance of communication, mm-hmm. and how the girls are learning that. Did you see any improvement in the game at West Texas?
I saw some. I think they got up on us at home, which, I mean, you know, they're at home, they should, but we fall back. I think we pulled it within two or three a couple of times, but could never get over the hump to get past them. But again, I thought we communicated better. I thought there were some moments where we could have communicated even more. But, yes, it was an improvement from Lubbock to West Texas, and it's got to be an even better improvement to Thursday.
And Thursday is Eastern New Mexico, and this team kind of surprised, as a fan, surprised us a little bit. I don't think they surprised you or mm-hmm. Kevin because you knew that was going to be a challenge in Portales, and it was. And they played really well, and they've been playing well. They're kind of a hard team to figure out because they beat Angelo State. They turned around. They didn't play so well against Permian Basin, but they've also shown the ability to play some great defense because they played a high-scoring A&M international team and held them to 60 points.
Right.
So they're a team that's shown they can play both offensively and defensively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. They're very
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, I would say kind of up and down. You don't know what you're going to get out of them, right? So that's the tricky part about a team like that is you don't know what to prepare for, but – prepare for, you know, if all things are clicking, this is what you can expect. The other thing is their roster hasn't been consistent. So they've had some kids that were in, out due to whatever injuries, eligibility stuff. And so, you know, that part of it can be somewhat difficult to prepare for because, you know, in a perfect scenario, these are the people we think is going to show up, you know. But some of it is finding out on game day. But that's just a part of playing the game. Like, you just have to be prepared for whatever they come with. They're an extremely athletic team. They have a lot of hybrid players that could play multiple positions. And so that can be difficult when you have a 6-foot person that could play, you know, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And so knowing that kind of stuff, they're somewhat positionless because they can play multiple positions. You have girls that you would think would play the guard, play more of a 4 position. And so it can cause matchup problems for your team if you have a true back to the basket traditional post now guarding somebody who's technically a guard. So it does cause matchup problems, and they're extremely explosive and streaky, and they're still fighting for an opportunity to play in March. So just like every one of us that, you know, are looking at these last few games, you know, every game matters. So you're going to see a different fight out of most of the teams that will play these last few weeks.
And Midwestern State's in that mix.
Yes, we are in a 3-way tie for 9th right now, one game behind the 8th place. And the teams that we're tied with, we have already beat Cameron, and then we'll have an opportunity to play Kingsville. And so if you beat them, then you win the head-to-head. But you need to be an eighth. We're three games behind seventh, which was West Texas. We split with them. We have to win our way in. We can't sit around and wait on other people to lose. So
Is there anything you'll try to do differently against Eastern Mexico than what you tried in Portales, or did you learn anything that'll be effective in the second meeting?
You know, we got out to a great first quarter against them.
You did, I remember that.
We were up 10 against them. The game plan was good. And he started a kid that was a walk-on that had not played much all season long, which didn't bother us. You know, we went up 10. But what it did was ignite the girls that he benched to come in and prove a point.
It gave him more depth.
Yes, absolutely. So now your starters are tired and on the bench, and, you know, his best players are playing against your bench players, and I get it. But the other thing that they did that we have to adjust is they just pressured us a lot. And so, again, their athleticism and speed bothered our guards a little too much. We started turning it over.
Yeah, I think you had 16 turnovers in that game, mm-hmm. if memory serves me right.
And we need to take better care of the ball. So all week long we've been practicing, you know, just pressure, contact, handling the ball, still making decisions, expecting to get hit. This is college. You know, you have to be able to finish with contact. And so I thought our girls kind of, you know, in West Texas and even at Lubbock were complaining about foul calls too much. And I just told them, ladies, just stop. You know, if you make a shot, the whistle doesn't matter. And so, you know, I played at the college level. I've coached at it long enough. I played professionally. There are a lot more hits that happen than what get called. If they call everything, we won't probably ever finish the game. And so you got to play through contact and just kind of toughen up, buttercup, like my coach used to tell me all the time. You're going to get hit a little bit. They'll call the egregious stuff, or if you get completely knocked off a position. But for the most part, you turn on NCAA basketball, those girls are finishing through contact. So it's just a part of the game. And they accepted the challenge. Like, they've been understanding this week, you know, I can't sit around and expect a foul call. I have to expect to control what I can control, which is put the ball in the hole. So we've been making that adjustment. We have the pads out, and we're making sure that every move they make has some level of contact so it doesn't take them out of rhythm or position, and they get confident with finishing with contact, because I believe Eastern is going to give us lots of contact. So we have to be ready for it. It's college. So,
do you think the Lone Star Conference specifically is more physical than other conferences, or just as physical as other conferences?
The few preseason games that we played against other teams and other conferences, it was similar. It was similar. I wouldn't say it was more than. I think it was similar. So I don't think it's anything new that we're experiencing contact. I just think that because I missed a shot, now I want to ask for a whistle. That's not how this game goes, my love. Okay. But the thing is, people who concern themselves with what they can control and making shots, if you just put the ball in the hole, you don't care about whistles, because whistles really slow down momentum, if you really want to think about it. So I don't want a whistle to slow down my momentum. I want to just make shots. So we just have to buy into that, get focused on those types of things. And they understand that's the goal moving forward. And just being tough and playing through contact, that is just a part of the game. I tell them all the time, this is not volleyball where there is a net between us. Okay. So what does that mean? This is a full contact sport. Not as bad as football, where we have pads and helmets, but there's still contact all the time. You should be okay with being touched and pushed and those kinds of things, because that's a part of it. So they're getting it. Again, a lot of the players that we play, a lot of them are younger, and so they're learning that, and they're learning how to play through and be tough and those kinds of things, and really understanding how important a weight room translates over to the collegiate level. So
how does that translate on the defensive end? And is that part of the frustration, is that, hey, I thought I got fouled down here, I'm getting called for a foul on the other end for something similar?
Mm-hmm. It does translate, because now they're consumed with doing the ref's job instead of their job. And so even myself, a lot of people say, you don't yell a lot at the refs. I cannot.
You kill them with kindness.
I'm very nice.
But you're talking to officials, but you're doing it with a smile on your face. I think you have the most unique style of dealing with officials that I've seen.
Well, I don't want to get consumed with doing their job, because if I'm doing their job, then my mind isn't clear to do mine. So it's not that I don't communicate with them. I'm not going to focus on what they're doing. And when I do talk to them and different things like that, you know, it's because maybe it is inconsistent with what I'm seeing. And so once you communicate with them, they're pretty fair. They'll say, hey, I will look for it. Or maybe I thought that was his call to make, not mine, coach, but I do see what you're saying. But they've been all very complimentary. Even the officials in West Texas and at Lubbock, they were like, coach, you know, this is probably the hardest we've seen Midwestern State play in a very long time. You're doing an excellent job. Keep it up. And for officials to say that, like, that means a lot. Like, we're super proud of the progress that we made. We're not satisfied. We want to continue to grow and get better. But, you know, you want to have good rapport with them as much as possible, because you'll see them over and over
right.
again. So, yeah.
And you've already experienced some of that, where you're seeing officials for a second, maybe even a third time.
Mm-hmm, that we do. But the girls, you know, they just have to stay in control of what they can control. And also to just be mindful of the way that they're calling it. If they're calling it like Zaria Carter had 3 over the back calls at West Texas, you know, I said, you know, you weren't getting that call all year long. This is an official that's making that call. Just swim around, get frontal position when you go for the rebounds, and then read. If I'm behind the girl, don't go for it. Don't bump into her. Just get back, live to play another possession. So she understood. She's, yes, ma'am, I got it. And, you know, we make the adjustments. She ended up finishing the game, but just too much time with her out the game is never going to benefit us.
Right,
we need Carter on the court. So.
And you tried to play her through foul trouble
tried
on Saturday.
Tried to play her, tried to tell her to adjust. And she did a little bit. She just, you know, she rebounds. It is a habit. And so getting her to not rebound is not what I want. I just want her to be mindful of when and how she rebounds, because she has won us games by rebounding and finishing in the game situation. So I don't want her to stop. I just want her to be mindful about when and how I do it. But we need her on the court. She knows that. She's preparing herself. We had a good conversation yesterday after practice, and just trying to keep her mentally engaged with, we need you on the court. You're a huge part of what we do. So you kind of have to be mindful of, you know, the fouls and being in position to even go for certain rebounds. So, but I just love the fact that she cares enough to even go after rebounds and get us extra touches. You know, she's trying to be competitive for us, and she's trying to help us, you know, get an extra 2 points, or, you know, maybe get them in foul trouble. So, but she's been really good for us.
And, you know, the other thing that gets overlooked sometimes about her game is she's a great free throw shooter. Mm-hmm. She gets to the line, they're pretty much sinking.
Yeah, she's gotten a lot better at that. And she's been working on it. And so just trying to also improve her post moves and the different arsenal that she can pull from with what she does on the block, and not just settling for the jump shot, because she does have a nice stroke, and she's softened up the touch a little bit. You know, early in the season, she was hitting it off the glass really hard because she's so strong, and she's learned that soft shooter's touch, which is healthy for rebounding too, because then the ball bounces right softly around the rim, not banging off of
right.
the glass or the rim, which is hard to chase. So she's adjusted, she's growing, she's hungry, she continues to improve. I think she'll keep getting better for us. But, yeah, we're working on her even being a little bit more versatile down there on that block and making moves, because she's attracting double and triple teams.
Yeah, and you've seen teams kind of – she's drawn the attention of everybody we play, and mm-hmm. everybody we're going to play from here on out is
yes.
going to be trying to take her out of the game. But she's looking like a first-team All-LLC player to me. And does that kind of thing matter to you?
It doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, obviously, like, players are going to get what they have earned. But
well, maybe.
in most cases, I mean, they usually do. But I personally think, and this isn't a knock against Zaria, she and I have had this very authentic conversation. I think the best help their teams win and get stats.
Right.
And so, for me personally, when you can get stats and help your team win, those are first team players. Now, if you're just looking at stats, then obviously, yeah, she's one of the top in the league.
One of the top scorers, one of the top rebounders. Mm-hmm. Seems like that would be
yeah.
enough, but you're right. And the people that vote on this look at, is the team winning or not?
Right, which makes a difference. But no, I think she's done excellent. She definitely should be all conference. And I think that she's not even satisfied if she doesn't help us win. That's the other thing I like about her. She's competitive. She doesn't care about individual stats, neither do I. But, you know, if we could get our guards to kind of help us out a little bit, balance that floor when they double-team her, be ready to knock down shots, that will help us. So we've been working on it. I'm looking forward to Thursday's game. I think that our girls are going to come out and be ready to compete and take care of home court. So we'll see how that one goes.
And that's at 5:30 on Thursday, and then again 1 o'clock Saturday with Western New Mexico here. It's Ovarian Cancer Awareness Day. We want to see everybody at DL Lincoln Coliseum. You can get your teal ribbon, and if you can, wear teal. And either way, we want you there pulling for the Midwestern State Mustangs as they take on Eastern and Western, and it's good to be back home again.
Yes, it is.
That's Bernita Jackson, and this is the Stang Gang Podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about it. I'm Pete Stein. So long.